Hi, this is Jalen for Dobbs, where tire buying is easy. At GoToDobbs.com, shop brands, sizes, pricing, and our amazing deals. With 40-plus locations, get same-day install. For tires, it's Dobbs.
For deals you can use, click on GoToDobbs.com now.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Kylie, it's BK and Ferrario here on 101 ESPN. We are always happy to go out to the 101 ESPN hotline when Jeremy Rutherford is on the other side of the line. Blues insider for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at JP Rutherford. JR, appreciate the time as always, man. Let's start with some like rumors, I guess you could say, from last night. Blues seemingly interested, connected to a couple of Swedish players. Have you heard anything on this? How much should we read into it, JR?
Yeah, no, I think there's definitely something there and probably would hear something from the Blues at some point. Usually when those European signings get reported a couple days earlier, the Blues are quick to make it official. So I think we'll see something with Marcus Silvergaard. I think he's a guy who played in Europe last year. And Alex and I spoke today on the Last Minute Blues podcast talking about this. We've seen this before in the past. You go back to 2015. You had Joachim Lindstrom was a player that the Blues brought over from Sweden. He was friends with Alexander Steen. You know, now Steen still scouting with the team and helping the team in the front office has a pulse for those guys in Europe. And so I think we'll see that signing, and these players will potentially come over and either be depth pieces for the Blues or guys who can play in Springfield. I wouldn't get overly excited until they come over and we see what we got, because typically guys in their mid-20s who weren't drafted have put up good numbers in Europe. It doesn't always translate here in North America.
Yeah, JR is Buzz Killington, just like BK's Buzz Killington. Just gets us all upset about everything,
yeah,
no matter
JR,
what.
I was reading Alex's scouting reports that he sent us last night.
It's, watching it film?
Like sounded like he was basically Jaden Schwartz 2.0 that was coming over.
You know what? I always say this, that I try to put things in context. I do. And then watch. One of these guys will come over, light it up. Why didn't other teams sign this guy over in Sweden?
So you'd say, though, JR, off-season over for Doug Armstrong, right? You got those done?
Completely
you're not even really worried anything else?
Yeah, once you get those two depth pieces from Europe, I think you're pretty much done. And, you know, I would think that Doug would just put those feet up on the desk here for the rest of the summer.
Makes
and
sense.
Come back with the same team next year.
So, JR, we did talk about this on the podcast earlier, but for our listeners, it's an update on the coaching search that you have heard.
Yeah, and so I think right now it's still in a holding pattern. I know Drew Bannister has gone back to Thunder Bay, Ontario, where he lives in the off season, and he's just kind of awaiting word on his future. You know, I've heard, but like, don't hold me to this, that it could be down to just the two candidates, Bannister and someone else. We know that Doug Armstrong said that he was going to wait until the playoffs, until he could talk to a few potential candidates. You know, who are those candidates? You look at the head coaches in all these series. You know, Jim Montgomery with Boston, could he be a fit? For sure. But he's got one more year left on his contract in Boston. You look at Sheldon Keefe, you know, they could lose to Boston and get knocked out. I don't know that the Blues, I don't think they would be interested in a Sheldon Keefe. And, you know, hey, you might as well shoot for the stars. People have said to me, how come you're not mentioning John Cooper? They just lost to Florida last night. You know, the one thing I go back to in Doug Armstrong's season-ending wrap-up is he said, we're just not that cup-contending team right now. We're not looking for a coach that's going to give us that extra 3 or 4% to push us over the edge and be that cup-contending team. We're looking for a guy who's going to be willing to deal with mistakes from the young players. So I don't know if John Cooper, who also has term left on his contract, is that guy either.
So you think that they're down to one other candidate right now, JR?
Well, I that's just kind of the scuttlebutt. So you're not at the rink, but you're making calls. You're trying to find out where it's at. You know, Doug said that he would like to have something done by June 1st. So, you know, the rumor mill, two candidates, Bannister and somebody else. You know, we've talked about David Carl at the University of Denver, but of course you guys talked about it last week that he He agreed to take on that World Junior Championship team for the U.S., so that would seemingly take him out, except for, you know, there is precedent with that. The North Dakota coach in the early 2000s accepted that World Junior Championship job and then backed out of it to take a Columbus Blue Jackets assistant job. So could David Carl back out and take the Blues job? You know, I suppose, but you would think that if it were going to be Carl, that something would likely be done. So I look at these playoff coaches, and the one thing, you know, I told Alex today that we can't forget too is that we're not just looking at head coaches with these playoff teams. There could be a candidate that Doug Armstrong has his eye on in the playoffs who is an assistant coach, maybe with some NHL experience.
Jeremy Rutherford is our guest here on 101 ESPN. Jer, on that note of the coaches and what they could potentially mean for the Blues heading into 2024, it's something we're going to talk about a little bit later on today, as I've watched especially the Eastern Conference games. You get the sense that it is the heavier team that is winning the majority of these games. They are winning with a cycle play. Like, it's everything that Craig Berube talked about for, you know, 3 or 4 years here in St. Louis about the way that you can win in the postseason. It's working, especially on the Eastern Conference side of things. How much influence, in your opinion, does the coach have in the style of play that your team ends up going with, as opposed to that just being a result of the players that you've put together?
Well, I think this. I think that you can say the coach has an influence and an impact on what the team looks like in terms of the style, but it takes time to put that type of roster together. And I think that if you look at this Blues roster right now, they've been one of the best transition teams in terms of rush chances the past couple of years. You know, you're building around a Kyrou and a Thomas at this point, you know, on your roster. And sure, you can still fill in the bottom six or your bottom four D with heavier players and try to play that 2019 style. And everybody points to Craig Berube as that's the style that he wants to play. But let's say you brought in that type of coach right now. You know, how long would it take? A year, 2 years, 3 years to be able to go out and assemble that type of roster? Remember, all these contracts that we're talking about trying to get rid of, they're not going away this summer in terms of all of them. So I think that the roster kind of dictates the style, at least for the time being, until you can transition into a different type of roster, if that's what you want to do, more so than the coach's style does.
Jer, we're starting to see some of these series come to a conclusion in the first round, and obviously the coaching side of it's one thing, but you look at some of the rosters and what could take place if Toronto gets bounced, with the Capitals being ousted and maybe the New York Islanders. Do you see any significant changes to teams that are going to get bounced in the first round of the playoffs roster-wise that the Blues might be able to capitalize on?
Yeah, I think that's always the case. I know for a couple of years now, you know, every time Toronto lost in the first round, you know, a Blues fan said that you got to go get, you know, those top four guys, one of those top four guys. And, you know, at some point it's Nylander, you know, now it's Mitch Marner. Like, definitely Toronto has to do something. So they're going to have to break that up. Obviously, Matthews is going nowhere. So, you know, is Mitch Marner a guy who's going to be available at the end of the season? You know, I guess possibly. You know, are the Blues, who are in a retool, in a position to give Toronto what it wants, or are they even in a position to, like, start to put your eggs in one player's basket or two players' basket moving forward here? I don't know that they are. And some fans will say, why not? Go do it. Go, you know, go get this guy. You'll be competitive next year. They're still in that focus of drafting and developing and trying to get better over the course of the next 2 or 3 years. And I always remind people, you know, don't always go spend that money right now. Make sure you have that money available in a couple of years when your other guys are ready, the guys that are coming up, and then you can go add that piece to kind of help put you over the top. And you won't have that money if you go spend it now. So it's fun fantasy land talk to think about those types of players right now. I don't know that Doug Armstrong's going to make that move unless this guy is 25, 26, 27. He can be in your core for the next several years.
I'm going to ask an honest question, JR, and you can totally scream at me if you need to. Is Mitch Marner $5 million better than Pavel Buchnevich?
I don't think so. And I think what we've seen in the playoffs here, and Mitch is obviously uber talented. But I think what we've seen in the playoffs here, and, you know, people can talk about injuries or illness. I know a lot of those Toronto players are dealing with something. I haven't seen it in this series. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Pavel Buchnevich because I think, you know, just comparing him to Marner, maybe he isn't as talented offensively, but I think he does a lot of other things well. So, you know, I'm not saying that I'm in the camp that would give Buchnevich $8 million for the next 8 years, but I definitely would put Buchnevich in a category of signing him potentially because of that all-around game and what he can bring the Blues ahead of a Mitch Marner type.
It seems like Marner, like you look at it, Alex, defensively, that's a big part of what he brings to the table. And points-wise, goals are basically the same as Pavel Buchnevich over the past three years. He's a little bit better in assist numbers, but he's also played with better teammates. Alex, do you disagree with this?
I look at it, and JR, I'm not like pushing back. I look at it as you got a guy who's hit 90 points three times and 85 points once, and the most Pavel Buchnevich has got to, if I'm not mistaken, 76. So I look at it as $5 million difference. You're talking about a guy who could get to 100 points versus a guy that maybe could get to 85.
But what if I put Buchnevich with the line mates that Marner is playing with?
Then you're talking about 100 points.
Exactly. And Marner, so is that a situation thing or
and here's the
thing.
Difference for me, JR. Marner is more of a playmaker, where I think Pavel Buchnevich is a two-way forward who can score goals. And if you substitute a goal scorer with a playmaker, you're taking out a 30-goal scorer.
I agree. But, you know, I prefaced it by saying Marner's a better offensive player, I think, and can create more. Not to say that Pavel Buchnevich can't, but I also look at what does this team not have, and do you not have a Mitch Marner for sure, but you know there's not enough Pavel Buchneviches around the league, and I think if you build around him, he can be that type of player who is versatile. And I will say this though, I think we need to see more of the feisty Pavel Buchnevich that we thought he was going to be, and I think that he was in New York. And you know, does he do it on the odd night and bring that element to his game? I think he can do it a lot more. But I think, you know, if the Blues were in that upper echelon of teams and contending and getting into the playoffs, you know, maybe that brings out that element in him. So, you know, you look at the roster, what don't you have? Obviously, this Blues roster could use both of those players. But I think that Buchnevich kind of brings something that you'd really be missing if you didn't have him.
Here's the difference for me, though, and why I would lean more towards Marner. Marner's 26. Buchnevich is 29.
Totally fair.
And that's three more years in your core.
But 13 million versus 8.
I don't know if he gets 13 mil.
12 million versus 8. He's at 11 right now.
Yeah. For 26 years old at 90-plus points, I would go the extra $4 million for a top-line player that I know is a top-line player. Absolutely. We hand those out like candy canes at Christmas time.
Well, and that's what I go back to the original question, is the $5 million difference.
Yep.
You know, I think that a lot of people are going to take Marner probably, I don't know, 7 times out of 10 in that scenario, maybe even more. But when you phrase the question, you know, $4 or $5 million difference, that's the key. What's Doug Armstrong's MO since he took over the GM chair is we're not paying superstars, we're paying a lot of guys handsomely. And I think that's what they have in Buchnevich, and they would continue to have moving forward. You know, is a relatively well-paid player, but you're not talking 12 or 13 million. And hey, let's not forget, you know, I know it's a little ways off, but you know, the Snuggerudes and the Dvorskis, those guys, you're going to hope that you have to pay them a lot more in the next 3 to 4 years. And that's going to be tough to do if you're paying a guy $12, $13 million.
Hey, JR, it's going to be good talking with you about all of these different possibilities throughout the course of the offseason. Hopefully we get some more word on the coaching staff decisions here pretty soon. Appreciate the time as always. We'll be reading you over at The Athletic, following you along at on Twitter as well, at JP Rutherford. We'll talk with you again next week, my friend.
Yep, sounds good. Thanks.